And so I want to ask the question this morning that as you sit there in your body being a container of the living God, how do you know when you need a cleansing? How do you know when you need a cleansing?
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, teaching pastor here on the Anchored in Jesus Radio Ministries, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We would like to thank you for joining us today for the first half of Cleansing the Temple. Before we get into our message, I've been giving an offer over the air, and that is a booklet that I wrote on the Antichrist. If you want to know more about this biblical character called the Antichrist, why don't you get this book? And in it, we talk about who are some of the popular candidates in the past that they said were the Antichrist. What is the religion and nationality of the Antichrist? What about the work and the character and the end of the Antichrist? And then the mark and the name and the number of the beast. If you would like this booklet, contact us here at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. So let us join the message this evening, the first half entitled Cleansing the Temple.
The Gospel of John, chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum. He and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things from here. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house have eaten me up. I want to speak to you on this subject today, cleansing the temple. Cleansing the temple. Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you for this passage in the Gospel of John. And Lord, we ask that as we begin to investigate and explore the riches that are in these very few verses, Lord, that you would allow our hearts to be challenged and our hearts to be touched as we understand this whole idea of the cleansing of the temple. And so, Lord, we invite the congregation as we open the word today to come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, at your table, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we consider why John wrote this book, the Gospel of John, the reason that he wrote it, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So we want to talk this morning about cleansing the temple. You know, I'm going to get into this in a second, but our bodies are the temple of the living God. And so I want to ask the question this morning that as you sit there in your body being a container of the living God, how do you know when you need a cleansing? How do you know when you need a cleansing? Well, you need a cleansing if a thick layer of dust is over your Bible, you know you need to do some house cleaning. You need a cleansing if crumbs are all over your prayer life, right? Either there's little prayer or no prayer. Then you need to cleanse the temple this morning. Maybe there are smudges. You know how you get smudges on your windows, on your mirrors? Maybe there are smudges on your eyes this morning. You are watching things that are unwholesome. You need a cleansing of the temple. Maybe there are cobwebs in your mind. Evil thoughts and negative thoughts abound in your mind that you find yourself meditating on evil continuously. You find yourself in a negative frame of mind, a negative state. These cobwebs have infiltrated your mind. Then you need a cleaning. Mold and mildew has grown in your heart. Maybe you're here today and there's bitterness in your spirit. There's unforgiveness that you sitting here today, there's somebody that you can think of that you have not forgiven. Or maybe even there's anger in your heart, that there's just this anger that's seething down inside of you. Whatever reason it might be, this anger resides in your spirit. You need to cleanse your temple this morning. Maybe, you know how, and I know I have a bad habit of doing this sometimes, you know, just piling up clothes in the corner. Maybe, somebody says shame on me, right? maybe there are sins that have piled up in the corner of your life. There are sins that you have not dealt with, sins that you have not confessed, and the pile just keeps getting higher and higher and higher. You need a house cleaning today. Maybe, there's dirt in your mouth. There's dirt in your mouth. Unwholesome speech characterizes your speech. Yeah, I was watching a news clip the other day. Some of y'all might have seen it. I don't really watch The View, but they Whoopi Goldberg and this judge actually got into it right there on the set. And the judge, I don't know if they threw her off or she left, but they said that Whoopi and the judge had words after the show was over. And they said that they was letting them fly, right? They was letting them fly. All kind of bombs, right? So sometimes, you know, we might be able to present a clean front in one place, but, you know, eventually what's in our heart is going to come out. And so sometimes we need to cleanse our speech because we have an unwholesome mouth. So if you fell into any of those situations this morning, this message is for you. That even sometimes we have a tendency to slack off on our time with God, that dust covers that time, crumbs cover our prayer life, and then we see that there's a need for us to have a cleansing. As we think about some comparisons before I get into the message today, look at these comparisons. First, when we look at the tabernacle in the wilderness, it was a place where the Lord dwelt. Now remember, keep in mind that Jesus is going into the temple and he's cleansing the temple. Now we know that there were several temples, and this temple that he cleansed was actually Herod's temple. But when we think about the tabernacle in the Old Testament, look what it says in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8. God said, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." And then we see Solomon's temple, that God told Solomon to build a house for my name. And later Solomon said to the Lord, "I have built a house of habitation for who? For you. I have built a house for you to dwell in and a place for thy dwelling forever." And Paul says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own?"
that you are a container. You are the temple. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you are the temple of the living God. Some people say, that's crazy. What do you mean God lives in me? Well, you know, I can't explain that. All I know is that when I got saved, my life changed. Before I got saved, you know, every other word out of my mouth was nasty, negative, cursing God, blaspheming God. And praise God, when I got saved, the first thing that got cleaned up on me was my mouth. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever said a filthy word since then. I thought about many, but no, I'm just kidding. Right? But what was it? It was that Holy Spirit that came to reside in me, that gave me power to live the life that God wanted me to live. We see that the tabernacle and Solomon's temple were both of great worth. They estimated that the tabernacle in the wilderness with all the trappings that went along with it was over $60 million if you added it up in today's terms. Solomon's temple, with all the gold and all the majesty that was in Solomon's temple, $140 billion in today's terms. You know, what does that tell you? That tells you that God don't want to live in any junk. The believer, he says, you are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but greater than any money, far valuable than any gold, that you have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That you are worth something. That when people talk about having a low self-esteem and people talk about they're not worth anything, man, you are so worthwhile that God sent Christ to die on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood. He shed the precious blood of Jesus Christ for you. That means that God thinks that you are worthy. That God thinks that you are worth something. God loves you so much, and he thinks that you are worth so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for your sins. God is letting you know that you are worth something. You might be down and out in the gutter. You might be living in sin, but God still sees a valuable life that's worth saving. You are worth something. We see that Solomon's temple and the tabernacle in the wilderness, that they were both containers for the word of God. In the tabernacle, it says they brought the ark unto the tabernacle. Well, what was the ark of God? The ark of God was that little box that had the Ten Commandments. That they had the Ten Commandments in the ark of God. We see in Solomon's temple that the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto the place, to the oracle of the house, into the holy place, even unto the wings of the cherubims. That in Solomon's temple, the word of God was there. In Moses' temple, the word of God was there. And what does Paul say? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That you are a container for the living God. Both places in the Old Testament, the tabernacle and the temple, were to glorify God. The tabernacle, when Moses completed it, it said, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And even in Solomon's temple, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And Paul says in the New Testament that you, as a believer, the temple of the living God, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God wants a clean temple to live in. God wants a clean temple to live in. And then finally, they were devoted to God's use. They were for God and God alone. The tabernacle, God said, and let them make me a sanctuary. Let them make me a sanctuary. This sanctuary is for me. Solomon's temple. God told David that Solomon would build a house for my name. And Solomon later said unto the Lord, I have built a house of habitation for you and a dwelling for you forever. Those were for God. They were separated and sanctified for God. The believer is told, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That you have been designed and you have been devoted to God. And you know, it should be an oxymoron when we talk about a Christian sinning, right? Especially in a continuous state of sin. That should not be named among God's people, because we have been designed and devoted to the service of the living God. Yeah, I remember when we were across the street, we had a pipe organ, right? And every now and then, we would have visiting choirs to come, and the person that came up to try to play the organ, you know, we got our brother Doug and we got Jerome, and they get on these organs up here, they can make these organs sing. You know what I'm saying? They can make them sing. And so guys, you know, they tried to come and get on that organ and make it do the same thing that these organs do. It ain't gonna happen, right? Why? Because that pipe organ was not built to do that. Oh, I'm going somewhere. That pipe organ was not designed to do that. So we as Christians, temples of the living God, we've been designed and created to serve and glorify God. And so there should be some things that go against our nature, that when it's mentioned about sin in our life, it should be so against, for us to sin. You know, now I know really a lot of times it's easy to sin, right? I mean, sometimes it's the click of the computer. Sometimes it's the flick of the television. Sometimes it's the slip of the tongue, right? So sometimes it becomes, but you know what? If we realize that we are this temple that the living God resides in, you know what? Whenever we sin, it should be really a struggle to go against the nature that's coming out of us. Sin should not be easy for the child of God. You know, we should be so steeped in the fact that God lives in us that sin is actually an affront against our nature, because we have the Spirit of the living God within us. Let's look at the scripture this morning. And the first thing we see is that Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. Look what it says here in verse 12. And after that, he went down to Capernaum. After what? Well, if you go back a few verses, he just turned the water into wine. So after he turned the water into wine, he went down to Capernaum. He and his mother and his brethren and the disciples, and they continued there not many days. So when they went to this city called Capernaum. The word Capernaum breaks down into two words, village of Nahum. So many people believe that when the prophet Nahum of the Old Testament, that this is where he resided at. And so they went down there, and it says that they didn't stay too long. Why didn't they stay too long? Because verse 13 says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So it was the Passover. And you remember the Passover in the book of Exodus, when God allowed the Israelites to leave Egypt. That the night before they left, God said, if you put the blood of a lamb over the doorpost, that when I pass through the land and I take the firstborn of everything in the land, that when I see the blood, I'll pass over where you live. And so they put the blood over the lintels of the doorpost, and when the death came through the land, the firstborn in the house of every Israelite was saved. And Moses said, God told him, man, you've got to remember this. You have to remember this throughout all generations. And so Jesus, being a faithful Jewish male, went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Now, not only was he there to celebrate the Passover, but three times a year, no matter where you were, all the males of Israel had to come and they had to bring a special offering to the Lord. So Jesus was actually there for two reasons. He was there to celebrate Passover, and he was also there because as a Jewish male, he was required to bring a special offering to the Lord. And so Jesus shows up. He gets there. And what does he find? Well, let's go on and read to see what he found. In verse 14, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money. So Jesus gets there. And notice now, the temple. In the temple, and I wish I had put a diagram up of it, but in the temple, there was the place called the outer court. And this is where the Jewish people could go. That they could go right there, and the priests would take their offerings and offer them up. But before you got to the inner court, there was another court. And this was called the court of the Gentiles. And so only the Gentiles could go, the Gentiles couldn't go past this place. They could go no further. Jewish people could go to the inner court, but the Gentiles could only go to the court of the Gentiles. And so when it says that these individuals were selling things in the temple, actually it was talking about the outer court, the court of the Gentiles. And notice that you had merchants there. Man, what a scene this must have been. All these people descending on Jerusalem because of the Passover, and then you got the temple where all these things are going on. You got ox, and you got sheep, and you got doves, and you got people lined up selling these things, and then over here you got money changers, you got people changing money. Man, there was a lot of things going on. And Jesus comes, and Jesus looks at it, and he gets upset. Well, why did Jesus get upset? Well, let me tell you a couple reasons why he got upset. First of all, the people came from a long way, and many of them couldn't bring their sacrifices with them. So it was convenient for them when they got to the temple to buy ox or sheep right there, because they had them right there. So they would travel that distance knowing that they were going to worship God and that they needed this sacrifice to worship, and they would buy their sheep or oxen right there. Well, what happened is that the people that were selling them jacked up the prices. They saw it as an opportunity. Man, cha-ching, cha-ching. Right? We're going to make big money. And so some people said they even jacked up the prices about 300%.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Cleansing the Temple. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Cleansing the Temple, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Cleansing the Temple. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view and download many other teachings that are listed there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze. On behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.